We're continuing in our series, Word of God Speak. Today, particularly, we're going to be talking about and looking at how God has spoken through prophets and through the Scripture itself. We saw last week that God is a supreme communicator. We're going to revisit the passage from Hebrews chapter 1 just briefly. The first three verses tells us that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, or patriarchs, some translations say, through the prophets as well, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Though not specifically mentioned in this text, again, it is inferred that God communicated when he spoke the universe into existence, and we talked a lot about that last week. But also, I just want you to notice this idea that God is speaking yet today to sustain the order and operation of things that we take for granted. Notice that. He's sustaining all things by his powerful word, orchestrating perhaps the orbit and balance of the stars and the planets as they dance across the heavens. That's an amazing thing to think about, how God is directing his creation in ways that we don't see or understand, but it seems as if he stopped doing that, everything would fall apart. So he created it, and he controls it, directs it by his word, it says. The Hebrew writer specifically, though, mentions that God spoke directly to some people, such as the patriarchs or the forefathers and the prophets, in various ways. His spoken word, in the Septuagint at least, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, is often rhema. And it is talking about God speaking, him proclaiming, him declaring. Now, he spoke to Adam in the very beginning. He did speak to him directly. And later, he spoke to Eve, for sure. We know about that because when, you know, she disobeyed God and she didn't follow what his instruction was, he had a word with her, didn't he? So he spoke to her as well. He spoke to Noah, and he spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Isaac. He spoke to Jacob. I want you to consider that he spoke to Joseph, and he spoke to Ezekiel and Daniel, all of them through dreams and visions. That he spoke to Moses from a burning bush. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. He spoke to Gideon. He spoke to Deborah. He spoke to King David. He spoke to Solomon. He spoke to Nathan. He spoke to Elijah. He spoke to Elisha. Now, they don't have books named after them, see? But God spoke to them, and we have record of that in the Scripture. And he spoke to many, many others. I personally don't think that all of the people that he ever spoke to, that we have record of, that he spoke to many in various ways. Sometimes, you ever think about this? What did God's voice sound like? What did it sound like? Sometimes it sounded like thunder, the Scripture says, or like mighty waters. Other times it sounds like a harp or a gentle whisper. Now, the words weren't always discernible to others standing around when God spoke to someone. They sometimes heard something, but it wasn't clear to them what was being said or even that it was the voice of God. Sometimes, to the ones he was speaking directly to, the words were clear enough, but the message wasn't. That they didn't always comprehend fully what he was saying to them and what the relevance of it was, what again the application of it was. They didn't always get that. Sometimes it needed some further explanation. I mean, Peter tells us that the prophets were at times mystified. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you'll do well to pay attention to it. as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, he writes, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never has origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He also says in his first letter, it's in verse 10 of chapter 1, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them, verse 12 says, that they weren't serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told by those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Now, something that I really find interesting in those texts, once again, is that sometimes the prophets didn't understand the application of what they were being told. They were told it, and they were told to share it, but they didn't always understand that it had a message for people much, much later. It wasn't even a message for the people there necessarily, other than to hold out the idea, the hope, that one day, someday, God was going to do something really amazing. And we know on this side of history that so often it was about Christ himself. It was about Jesus. I also find it interesting that in chapter 1 of his first letter, he says that it was the Spirit of Christ in them that was pointing. There were so many messianic prophecies again about Christ coming. But it was Christ actually in them sharing that. Now, we say, well, wait a minute. The Christ was coming, but the Christ was speaking to them then? Yes. Because Jesus, in his pre-incarnate state, in other words, before he became flesh, was with God and was God, John 1 would say. We'll talk more about that next week. And he was speaking. His Spirit was speaking to the prophets. So, again, so much of what we read about Christ was even told by Christ, that Christ was foretelling what he was going to do for mankind. I just find that really interesting how Christ was involved even in that inspiring and leading of these prophets. And once again, later on, the apostles, it says, would be sharing that same message by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So the Spirit would lead and inspire Christ's Spirit, the prophets, and later on again, the Spirit would inspire and lead the apostles to declare the truth of that word. But quite often, and we miss this sometimes, I think, God spoke not just to the prophets, but through the prophets to get a message to the people. That when God spoke to a prophet, as we already saw, sometimes it was a message for much, much later. But sometimes it was a message for them right then, right there, not just about something that was going to happen in the far distant future, but something was going to happen in their own lives, or something that they needed to know about their own lives, where they need to make some adjustments, where there need to be some changes. The Apostle Paul told the Romans this: everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. What's he talking about, everything written in the past? Well, what we call the Old Testament Scriptures. Those things, again, that were recorded that the prophets had heard from God and had shared with others. They were recorded. And they're written, see, not just for them then, but to teach who? Us. We sang a little while ago, ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. Let that sink in. Think about that these words, see, are meant to make a difference. They're written. God recorded them, had them written down to make a difference, not just for the people then, but for us now. He also reminded one of his apprentices, a guy by the name of Timothy, who was an evangelist serving in the city of Ephesus, he said, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So, and the text actually says the man of God, but the implication is that all people of God, men and women of God, might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Any men of God here? I mean, that might seem like, well, wow, if I hold up my hand or I say that, then you know, I'm almost like boasting. I'm a man of God. Any women of God here? See, the idea is that we belong to Him. That we belong to Him. We are men and women of God. That we belong to Him. And so the Scripture, see, all of the Scripture, and Paul would have been referring again to the Old Testament passages primarily there, because the New Testament ones haven't been written down yet and passed around yet by the time he wrote this. So the first reference there is to the Old Testament prophets and what they heard, the patriarchs, what they heard from God, and what they had shared for us. The Greek term for this type of communication is graphe. The word we get graphite from. Graphite you find in pencils, right? It's for writing. See, that's the concept, the idea. The Holy Scriptures, we need to understand this. The Holy Scriptures are the words of God written down to be read. By whom? Well, hear me, not for their contemporaries. In other words, they spoke to their contemporaries. They were written down, though, for the generations to follow. God had them write down what He said to them and what happened to them that God was doing for not their contemporaries, but the generations to follow, including this generation, folks. You and me. Think about that. See, they were written for you. God had in His mind that these would be written for you. For what purpose? To read. To read, or to have them read to you, if necessary. But to read. John Adams and I were talking when we were on our little fishing trip about they were blessed and got a new car, and we were too. Not that long ago, decided it was time. We had a lot of miles on our jalopies, but they were being good to us. But it was time to get a new one. Well, he asked me. He said, "Have you read that manual? It's that thick. It's that thick." I said, "Have you, John? Have you read your manual?" He says, "No, not all of it." And I've looked through it, and he said, "It's a little hard to decipher and follow, right, John? You know, sometimes, you know, it'll say go to this page and go to that page, and there's all these indexes and references. But there's so much information there. Well, why in the world did they give us this manual with the car? They want us to know how to operate it, what the symbols mean when they pop up on your dash, about all the options available. They want you to know all that, have access to all that information. Now, my manual is not in the car. It's sitting next to my easy chair. Because you know what? You can't read while you're driving. Right? But have I read it from cover to cover yet? No. No. But I've referenced it a lot. I've looked to it. I've tried to figure stuff out. You know, and see, it was written to be read, to be looked at. Think about it this way. God gave you this to be read. He wants you to understand that He made you. He wants you to understand how to maintain the life that He planned for you. He wants you to understand. It's a service manual in many respects, but it's also telling you how to operate. It's telling you about things that's one of the things with some of these new cars. There's stuff in it that I don't even know we got yet. You know, there's all these options and things that they come with new safety. You know, but, you know, there's stuff I know we're not utilizing. We don't know. But God wants you to know there's stuff that He created and He made you for that you're not experiencing either. And He doesn't want you to just, you know, go through life and never utilize what He's gifted you with. that he's blessed you with, how he's made you, what his intention and purpose for you is. He wants you to know. He wants us to be thoroughly equipped, see, for every work, every good work, every purpose and plan that he has. And the scripture is meant to do that. Now, I have people who say, well, yeah, okay, I get that, that it was written down. You know, I believe that, that was true. But you know what? This translation that I have, the Bible's been translated so many times in so many different languages that I just don't know that I can trust this to be his word, what he really said. You ever run across people that struggle with that? They have that question, they have that concern, and therefore they don't read it at all, or they don't look because they say, well, I'm not sure about that. If you have questions about that, I'd love to sit down and talk with you at length about the evidences for the reliability of this word. I'll just share with you a personal experience. I was very blessed while I was at Bible College in Michigan to be able to visit again at the Rare Book Room at the University of Michigan. And they had on display then the Ryland fragments from the book of John that date back between 100 and 150 A.D. Apart from a codex, but the fragments of the book of John in Greek. Now, they are now in Manchester, and they're on display there in the U.K. Now, I wasn't able to hold it in my hand, fragile, had it under glass. But it was so neat to be able to look, and I was taking Greek at the time, but to be able to read what it said and open my Bible to that passage and to read it and see that the God had preserved his word. Hallelujah. Also, at the British Museum, we were able to see some other codexes and manuscripts that date way back, many of them also from the book of Mark and the Gospel of John, and could do the same thing, do a comparative reading. Now, was it word for word? No. But was the message of the Word of God preserved? Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a beautiful, wonderful confirmation, you know, that was for me. I'll never forget. But you can trust that God has not only given us through the Spirit his word, he has preserved that word for us through the ages. Why? Because he wants us to read it and be equipped. See, if God wrote it for that purpose, would he allow for that purpose to be interrupted? Would he allow for that purpose to be sidetracked? No, he wants for every man and woman of God to be able to read his word and be inspired and encouraged by it. The Holy Spirit has been involved through that whole process. Cool. So what do you say we get equipped? What do you say we as men and women of God really look to this as to what it is? This is God-breathed word. God-breathed, inspired of God. God spoke it to people and said, write that down. Record what I said. Record what I did so that the people in the generations to come that I know who don't even exist yet, but I want them to know what I said. I want them to know what I did. Believers who feel so ill at them. So many times I talk to Christians, believers who feel so ill-equipped. One of the reasons, I'll just tell you, is because they're not taking God's word seriously. They're not revering as it should be. They're not paying enough attention to it. We started studying the book of Haggai just a couple of weeks ago in our Pathfinders class. And the word of God there seems very apropos for today. So I want to share with you the opening verses of the first chapter of the book of Haggai. And these will be on the screen for you. They'll be on the overhead. It says, and I want you to see, first of all, the specific nature of how God is really putting a time stamp on this. We talk about time stamping today in our other class, Discerning Disciples. God is telling us exactly when he spoke, exactly when he gave this revelation. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Now, that's one of the reasons why we often don't want to read our Bibles, especially out loud, is because, like, how do you pronounce that guy's name, right? Well, just do the best you can and listen to God. But he also spoke to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Now, I want you to notice something right there. See, God spoke to Haggai, but through Haggai, and who was the message for? Who was it for? It was for the governor, and it was for the high priest. All right? The message was for them, but did God speak to them? No. God spoke to the prophet to tell them what God said. So often we want God to speak to us directly, and I'm not saying that he can't or that he won't. But more often than not, guess what he does? He speaks through someone else. And so often it's the prophets of old and the word of God that he gave to them that speaks to them. But the message was for them. And I was just saying to somebody last week, I just wish that the leaders of our land and the leaders of our churches, see, because it's the government leaders and the spiritual leaders, right? I just wish that our leaders of our land and our churches were open to hear from God. How about you? I wish that all of them were open to hear from God, that they would hear the word of the Lord, right? That the word of the Lord would speak to them and they would hear it, they would listen, they would pay attention to it. Don't you wish that and pray that? That's what was happening here. It goes on to say, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, what people? He's saying the people of that day, his people, the men and women of God then, were saying, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while my house remains in a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you aren't warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Anybody ever feel that's the case with you? You must have holes in my pocket, we say. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Now, the word to them was that they were living lavish lives while neglecting God's plan and purpose for them. They had been granted the privilege, through God orchestrating it, to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city after it had been destroyed, to rebuild the temple after it had been destroyed. And what they were saying is, well, we'll get to that eventually. But you know what? We can do that tomorrow. Or the next day, or the next day. What do we call that? Procrastinating, putting it off. None of us have ever put off what God wants us to do while we're concentrating on things we want to do. Well, I wish that were the case. See, what's beautiful here is we can consider these words that came from the Lord through Haggai because the Holy Spirit, see, has preserved them for us. He's preserved this word for us. All these years later. Now, why has he preserved it for us? For our learning, for our training, for instruction, to equip us? So, what do we do with this word? Well, it wasn't directed to us specifically at the time, and we don't have a city to rebuild or a temple to rebuild. But I want you to notice again, not only was the message left with first the leaders, it was to be conveyed to the people living at that time, but now again preserved to be conveyed to us in this time. And what's the message? Oh, the last line of that. Read it with me. Give careful thought to your ways. That idea is repeated in the book of Haggai at least four times. Give careful thought to your ways. What would be a good thing for us to do when we're hearing from God? Give careful thought to your ways. In other words, do some self-examination. Hear from God. Prepare to hear from God. Well, how might you do that? What if every time we opened our Bibles, we prayed? Every time you open your Bible, you prayed. Maybe you pray, Word of God, speak. Open the ears of my heart to hear and to see what you want me to hear and see. Let me know, let me hear from you about what you want from me, what you desire of me. Help me to consider my ways. Compare them to your ways. And be ready to do what your word says. What if we prayed that every time before we open our Bibles? Word of God, speak. Remember, this has been preserved for you. This is more than a word to them. It's a word preserved for you. I mentioned about with creation that if you're not hearing God speak, you're not listening. Because he's speaking in creation. But he's speaking through his word, the Holy Scriptures, now. And every time it's open and it's read, God is speaking. But we often think he's speaking to somebody else. He's speaking to them then. Or boy, how many of you have ever done this? Come on, let's be honest. How many of you have ever said after a sermon, I've heard people say it to me, they've said, boy, I wish my brother had been here to hear that. Or boy, my wife, boy, she needed to hear that and she's gone today. My husband, boy, he needed to hear that. Or my kids. But see, God is wanting to speak to you. He's wanting to speak to me. And again, we need to approach the Word of God that very way. Speak to me. Lord, speak to me. And I almost could hear the Lord saying, I am, but you're not listening. I have been speaking to you, but you're not paying attention. What if we prayed that every Sunday, before I stood up here to share the word from the Lord, we'd pray that same thing. Word of God, speak. Not Pastor Steve speak to me, but may the word of God speak. That I'm here to hear from the Lord. And he is ready and willing and has been to speak to me. To speak to me. Oh, you know what an honor that is? Think about that a minute. That God would give you the opportunity to hear from him. That he would be interested in speaking directly to you. Think about that. Oh my goodness. Have you ever gotten a note from somebody that you didn't expect to hear from? And you were honored by it? Ever have somebody call you that and wow, what, I can't believe they called me. I'm honored by that. That was really nice of them. But for God, your creator, to have a word for you, to speak to you, wow, that's pretty incredible. And just think if we had that mindset and realized that and opened our hearts and our minds to that. Well, it could be more than a game changer. As we sang earlier, it could be changing me. Not just what I do, but changing me. And changing you. Again, God's message to those in Haggai's time was to think about how they were spending their time, their energy, and their money. As I said, they were living lavishly and neglecting the word of God and the work that God had called them to do. And the Lord, in essence, was saying this. How's that working for you? I mean, how's it going? I've been speaking to you. But you're not listening. And you're just doing things without me, without listening to me, without consulting me. How's that going for you? Feeling blessed? Well, if you were paying attention, what he said is, no, you're not being blessed. You're not being very productive. You're not being successful. You're not. Listen to everybody else but me. Putting your desires before mine. Because you don't even know what mine are anymore. Because you haven't been listening. But I think it's great. It's wonderful. We haven't gotten that far yet in our study on Pathfinders. For those who come to the class, here's the preview. It's only two chapters. Maybe you've read through already to the end. In the last chapter, that chapter 2, he'll tell them that it's not too late to mend their ways. See, if they will let him speak to them, if they will hear this message, it's not too late to mend their ways. In verse 18 and 19 of chapter 2, he says this, give careful thought. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. But if they would do as they should, from this day on, I will bless you. If you'll start hearing, start doing, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. So many people, they feel like they have fruitless lives. They feel like, their efforts are just falling, into futile pursuits. Give careful thought to what? Well, our ways and His Word. Isaiah would say in Isaiah 9 that His thoughts aren't like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. He says that. Well, then how can I know what your thoughts and your ways are, God, if they're so different than mine? Listen when I speak, because I'll tell you what my thoughts are. I'll tell you what my ways are. I'll tell you what my plan and purpose for you is. I'll tell you how to be blessed in life. I'll tell you. So the question for us, I think, have we been neglecting the work of the Lord while we pursue our creature comforts? Can we ever do that? Do we get caught up in that? Where we're more focused upon making ourselves happy than finding the joy of the Lord that comes from listening, hearing from Him, and responding to Him? Are there people to be fed and clothed and housed while we sit back and plan how we're going to spend our extra money on ourselves? Are we forsaking the needs of our family in pursuit of childish things? Are we busy with things that just make us feel good for the moment while neglecting the call that we have to share God's Word? See, He's spoken to us. If He speaks to us, is it supposed to just stay with us? Remember, we're to share that Word. We're to convey that Word to others, and we're to call them to recognize that God wants to speak to them. He has a Word for them and their life too. So many times, our ways and His ways are miles apart. And we don't even stop and think about it. We're just so busy, caught up in today with our busyness that we forget about His business. You know, our Faith Promise Rally is less than a month away. What should we be hearing from God, even through Haggai, about where our priorities should be? As we think about, giving to missions, we may not be, charged to build a physical structure, but we are charged with taking the gospel to the world. So as we think about that, as we consider our ways with His Word, what should we be thinking about? Give careful thought to our ways, to our giving, to our serving, to our devotion, to give careful thought to our ways. Father God, may Your Word speak. May we be leaning forward to listen. May we be anxious to hear from You. May we be open in our hearts and our minds is to give careful thought to our ways aligned with your word. Father, the reality is that we all fall short of doing that. I know. Every one of us in some way have been guilty of getting caught up and listening to everybody else and listening to everything else and not listening to you. We've taken your word for granted so much of the time. Your prophet Amos said that there would be a time when there would be a famine in the land of your word. And it's not that you're not speaking, it's that people aren't enjoying and taking in your word. That's so often the case today. May it not be true of us. God, equip us. Do it through your word. May we all be open to that, but let us hear this word. You love us. Christ died for us. And we have hope and life eternal in him. But let not that message override hearing what you have to say about what we do and should do in the here and the now. Word of God, speak. And may we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen.